Welcome to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. I'm your host, Katie Mox. And coming up on today's show, it was a wild Sunday. In week two, we'll dive into some of the best from the day's action. And if you didn't get enough, Christmas came early. There are two games tonight from Monday Night Football, the Titans and the Bills, and the Vikings and the Eagles will give you our best bets from those games. And you know what? You got some Mox Locks coming your way. But first, let's welcome in Danny Brasco. Danny, big win for the G-men. How are you doing?
Let's go. 2-0 start. We love Daboll. He's dialing them up. You know, it kind of feels like fool's gold. We'll see, you know, where this goes. But I love the new coach. I love the dicey play calling. And we'll revel in it as long as it lasts.
Absolutely. So let's break into some of the biggest games or storylines from the weekend. All right, first things first, let's dig into the 49ers versus the Seahawks. The Niners defeated the Hawks 27-7. And I will say, look, I know a lot of people think I'm gloating because Jimmy Garoppolo was in the game. I've obviously been the biggest proponent of Jimmy Garoppolo for the past 2 years now. However, it was absolutely devastating to see Trey Lance get injured like that. You never want to see something like that. It was a season-ending fracture to his ankle. It's unfortunate for him. It's also unfortunate for the franchise because now we're not going to see what this guy that we traded up three whole picks for looks like until the third year. So that's a little bit disappointing, but I do feel more comfortable with Jimmy Garoppolo at the helm, considering the Niners are 31-14 with Jimmy Garoppolo. They're only 9-29 with every other starting QB. Danny, I mean, we take a look at this game. Seattle had absolutely nothing that they could do on offense. I said last week that Geno Smith was the biggest overreaction. He did nothing. He did absolutely nothing. Absolutely no touchdowns. The only touchdown they got was from special teams. If we look at how this game went in the beginning, it was punt, punt, interception, interception, end of half, punt, punt, end of game. So Geno Smith basically did nothing. I thought Jimmy Garoppolo looked amazing. They completely controlled the game with the run game. They had 45 running attempts, 189 yards. Jeff Wilson looked good. He was filling in for Elijah Mitchell, which was amazing. We had Juszczyk and Jimmy Garoppolo both had a first yard touchdown run. Garoppolo completed 13 of 21 pass attempts, 154 yards with the touchdown and no interceptions. This is all knowing that Jimmy Garoppolo did not do anything during training camp. He did not take one snap during training camp. So he looked pretty amazing to me. I was excited. I feel better about this season. I'm bummed about Trey Lance. But at the same time, I think that the Niners have a real shot now. What do you think of this game?
Man, you are vindicated. I mean, you've been calling for the Jimmy G. Of course, yeah, like you said, you want to see Trey Lance, you know, develop and thrive. But that's your guy. You know the offense runs smoother under him. And he steps in immediately. No training camp, like you mentioned. And that's the way that the Shanahan offense is supposed to look, the ground and pound and the management. And Jimmy G took his shots as well. He looked pretty good. So I bet you're very happy that your Niners look back on track. And yeah, Jimmy G back at the helm. I mean, Katie Mox is happy. What else can you say?
Well, what else can you say? First of all, and you know, we talked about this. I have never been wrong when it comes to the 49ers and their offseason moves and specifically the quarterbacks. Everyone always says, oh, you're delusional. You don't know what's going on. And I'm right. Every single time I know this team and I know what's going to happen. Now, of course, I could have never predicted that the Trey Lance would have such a terrible injury just on the second game in. And again, it's absolutely horrible. But I did say that Jimmy Garoppolo was going to play this year. I did say that it was very likely that he was going to stay on the team. And I do think that the 49ers really did themselves a huge favor by buying that expensive insurance policy and having Jimmy G on the roster. It feels like 2017 vibes. You know, he came in also with a hurt quarterback in 2017. It was a rain game. He did crazy. It seems to be that that happened again. And you would think from Niners Twitter that everybody hates Jimmy Garoppolo, but I was at a 49ers bar yesterday here in New York City, and the place went nuts when Jimmy came onto the field. They were chanting his name. So I think the faithful are happy. We could all take a sigh of relief, but our heart breaks for Trey Lance. I mean, there's no way around that. The kid has got, and he had a rough week. You know, he had some extracurricular activities where he got a lot of flack from, and then he gets injured now. So, you know, your heart goes out to him. But I do feel very positive about what the 49ers can do now. So let's go. Moving on, the Panthers at the Giants. The Giants defeated the Panthers 19-16. The Giants are 2-0 for the first time since 2016. That's the last time that they went to the postseason. So I don't know, a little bit optimistic for the G-men. The Panthers have now lost 9 straight games, extending the longest active losing streak in the NFL. Carolina obviously struggled on third down. They only converted 2 of their 12 third down attempts. You're a Giants fan. Tell me what you think.
Man. 2-0, Katie. 2-0. Can you believe it?
2-0. I was on the Giants money line, by the way. Yes.
Wow, spicy. I was actually really scared of it because now we're talking betting, and let's get into the, you know, into the nuts and bolts of that. It looked like a trap game based on the line. I mean, the Giants opening up as favorites seemed outrageous to me. It seemed like such an overreaction beating the Titans. So I stayed away from that game. I played a couple props just for fun. I didn't even put them out as official bets. And Daboll got into another weird situation where, you know, the offense was very, very stale to begin. And he starts dialing up these really, really interesting creative play calls. And I said to my friend, I'm watching the game with him at a bar. And I'm like, did you see that? The coach just scored. Anyone could have been open on that play. And Daboll's making that happen for us. So look, when you put players in positions to succeed when nobody's around them, even the Giants can start 2-0. Let's go, Brian Daboll.
Let's go, Brian Daboll. Saquon also looked really great. And you could just see the difference in coaching when it's relatively the same team. I mean, obviously, I know you had a pretty good draft. Some of those players are injured right now. But you just put a different coach in there, and it changes the whole dynamic of the team. They believe in themselves now. Like you said, the coach put someone in a position to succeed that even you could have done or anybody else. So it's really exciting to see. It's nice to have that energy back here in New York City. Now, well, you know what I'm saying? I come to New York. The Rangers start playing well. Now the G-men start playing well. It could be me. I don't know.
Katie, bless the franchises. We need you. I mean, we've been struggling for a while now. So, hey, we got the Cowboys. The Yanks, too. The Giants got the Cowboys on Monday night next week. The Cooper Rush Cowboys, who came off, you know, big upset win. But there's a shot that we start 3-0. I'm, you know, pinch me. Is this reality?
I'm saying the last time you were 2-0, you went to the playoffs. So I have big expectations for the G-men. Moving on to the Dolphins and the Ravens. This game was wild. The Dolphins beat the Ravens 42-38. Ravens led 35-14 going into the fourth quarter before being outscored 27-3 to end the game. The Dolphins averaged 11.7 yards per play in the fourth quarter. That's just outrageous. It is tied for the largest blown lead in Ravens history and the largest fourth quarter comeback in Dolphins history. Jaylen Waddle, Tyreek Hill are just the second duo in NFL history to each have 170 plus receiving yards and two plus receiving touchdowns in the same game. The last time that happened was 1942 with the Packers. Despite a heartbreaking loss for Lamar Jackson, he really had one of the best games of his career. And look, I've been someone that hasn't believed in Tua, but Tua looked pretty good yesterday. He was 36 for 50, 469 yards, six touchdowns. He had two interceptions, but like he tied the Dolphins' records for pass touchdowns in one game. Five of his six touchdowns came in the second half. Just absolutely outstanding. And you know what? Congratulations to Mike McDaniel. But what did you think of this game?
Absolutely insanity. I mean, I had Lamar Jackson props, and I'm going to tell you this right now. I mean, we were talking about him, you know, contract year. Everyone on the show is really high on the Ravens and Lamar. Kenny, you, myself. Yes. I'm going to bet on Lamar Jackson props, especially, I mean, I bet him in the first week of the season, and it was a little bit underwhelming in terms of total yardage, but rushing and passing yards combined, I'll probably bet it every week and see what my record is at the end of the year, because he's just going to go ballistic like this time in and time out. I truly believe it. And he's betting on himself. It's going to pay off. This game, though, I mean, poor Lamar. He did all that just for the defensive coordinator to really blow the game. The Ravens couldn't stop anything, and they really just crumbled.
No.
Tua Tagovailoa and Dan Marino have the same amount of touchdown passes in a Dolphins game.
Unreal.
I mean, that's insane. It's insane. And I'm with you. I'm not a Tua believer either, but he just silenced some doubters. They beat the Ravens. The Ravens have historically owned the Dolphins. That was a massive comeback win for them. So, yeah, the NFL is the drama show that we can't wait to watch every Sunday. I mean, HBO, I'd rather watch the NFL.
Okay. That was actually the second 20-point comeback of yesterday. But I will say I took the Ravens to cover the spread. And I was feeling really good about this. And then I actually stopped watching the game. I'd moved on. I'd gone to the Niners bar. I was getting ready for the next slate of games. And then I saw that lost. So that was a tough pill for me to swallow. But again, I am happy for Mike McDaniel and Robert Saleh had a good game. Both, you know, Niners coaches that went on to be head coaches elsewhere had hell of a day yesterday.
Talk about the Jets too. Yeah, wow, insane.
That was incredible. Any thoughts on the Jets game before we move on? I mean, I know that's not in our schedule here, but if you have any thoughts, I'd love to hear them.
It's just like, no, just like this league is insane, Katie.
It's insane. And that's the thing. It's like you spend so much time handicapping these games, going through the research, looking at the analytics and trying to find the best bet that you possibly can. And it really is true that any given Sunday, anything can happen. And this Sunday, this week two of the NFL of 2022 was the epitome of any given Sunday. I mean, it was just a crazy game, crazy slate of games rather. But let's move on. Cowboys and the Bengals. What is going on with the Bengals? The Cowboys and Cooper Rush defeated the Bengals 20-17. The Cowboys led 17-3 early in the third quarter. And then the Bengals scored 17 straight to tie up the game late in the fourth. But the Cowboys drove 33 yards and six plays to hit the game-winning 50-yard field goal as time expired. Pretty exciting. Joe Burrow sacked six times. We thought that he had, you know, this O-line got better. They drafted for it, that he was going to be better protected. He was sacked six times. We talked about on Friday's show. I said, whatever Micah Parsons' sack total is, prop, go ahead and go over that. He got two. It was his fifth career game with at least two sacks. He's on a watch for a defensive player of the year. I think Nick Bosa is as well. But the Bengals have played five straight games, including the postseason, where it was decided by just 3 points. So the first team in NFL history to have five consecutive games decided by exactly the same margin, which is pretty crazy. The Bengals also the seventh team to lose the Super Bowl. They're only the seventh team to lose the Super Bowl and start the next season 0-2. So the Super Bowl hangover is very real for them. What do you think?
Yeah, you let Cooper Rush and the Cowboys beat you, there's a serious problem in Cincinnati. I mean, you said it. The long and short of it is the offensive line. It's crumbling around him. You can't get sacked six, seven times a game and expect to have success. Even if you're not getting sacked to the ground, you're under pressure, you're getting hit, the pocket's not clean, it's going to be harder. And I'm more alarmed of that, of the offense not doing anything than, you know, letting Cooper Rush beat you, right? They just couldn't get anything going. 20-17, like, they got to be able to put up more points than that. So if they play hard-nosed defenses like the Cowboys in this, I could see this continually happening. And it's not looking good in Cincinnati. Are they going to, you know, keep sliding into 0-5, 0-6? No, but I don't think they're going to make the playoffs this year, Katie.
I don't think so either. Well, they did kind of start slow last year, and then all of a sudden they came up. So I guess we can't lose hope. And I wonder, it's like, I blame the O-line, but does Joe Burrow have any culpability here as well? I mean, even when you look at someone like Josh Allen the first season when he was getting sacked quite a bit, yes, the problems were in the O-line, but there was also with the way that he was in the pocket. And so I feel like maybe there should be a little bit of blame on Joe Burrow here for the amount of times that he is getting sacked, at least to a certain extent. And yeah, couldn't get the offense going at all. And this line at one point was 10 points. It was 10 points favoring the Bengals. Now, of course, that got bet down, I think, to under a touchdown at 6.5. I took it, so I have got egg on my face for this one because you couldn't have told me that the Bengals would be that bad offensively and that Cooper Rush could come back like that. But here we are again, any given Sunday. The Bucs versus the Saints. This one was crazy. I was obviously on the Saints on this one, and the Saints or the Bucs beat the Saints 20-10. Tom Brady gets his first win against the Saints in the regular season as a Buccaneer. Second overall win. Of course, he beat the Saints in the 2020 NFC divisional round. The Bucs snapped a 7-game losing streak against the Saints. It was 3-3 going into the half. I felt really good about my bet. I thought that they were going to win. I took the Saints money line, and then Brady, he was visibly frustrated. He slammed his tablet to the ground. Then there was that crazy scuffle that ended up with two players being ejected. It seems like Mike Evans could possibly be suspended because this is his second offense of being ejected from a game. But then after that happened, the Bucs were just invigorated. Tom Brady turned into Tom Brady, and then it was just a nightmare from there. And I just watched my bet lose in front of my eyes. What did you think of this game?
So I had a bet. I had Tom Brady under 24.5 completions. I think you were on his under passing yards. On the episode.
Yes.
Both of those cashed. And you know what? Those were the plays in that game. Like, we're talking about all the wild stuff that happened all Sunday. And I'm actually, you know, not to pat myself on the back too hard, but I'm starting on fire on the season. And what I'm most proud of, beyond the wins, is the games that I pass on. There's crazy stuff that happens. There's sketchy lines out there. And the times that you can decide that spread is not good to play. This one looked weird. And the line was pasted at -2.5 for the Bucs all week long. And so it looked really sketchy. They make the comeback in the end. There was like 96% of the handle on the under. I stayed away from that too. It's 3-3 going half. I'm like, man, the under was a lock. But, you know, I'm looking at this game. It's just the offensive line issues for the Bucs, even though they were able to come around and Brady turned up and got the dub. At the end of the day, we knew that he was going to have some struggles against the Saints. So I'm happy that we were able to cash some unders on Brady. It's not usually the first thing you're looking to do. Even if you can't totally kind of figure out how you think the game is going to play out in terms of the score, you can nail some player props if you can identify the game script and how things might play out. So that's a good betting opportunity if you're sketched out by the line or the total.
Okay, moving on to the Sunday night game. We got the Packers versus the Bears last night. Packers won 27-10, covering that 10-point spread. It was the seventh straight win, and 22 of the last 25 matchups that the Packers have won in the against the Bears, including the postseason. They've won 13 of their past 15. Aaron Rodgers, he was 19 to 25, 234 yards, two touchdowns. Justin Fields, the fewest pass attempts by a starter in a whole game this season, even less than Trey Lance, who wasn't really in that much. He had three attempts, but he left the game with the ankle injury in week two. David Montgomery actually had a pretty decent game, 15 rush attempts and 122 yards. And, you know, I felt like I tried to get cute with this one, and I took the Packers -3 in the first quarter because I was worried about laying the 10 points. And, you know, the Bears went out there and scored a touchdown. The Packers had a field goal, and then they were rushing down the field. It felt like they were going to get the touchdown, and I was at least going to get the push. They decided to run the clock out and then score in the very first 5 seconds of the second quarter. So that didn't cash for me. I tried to get too cute with it, and then the -10 ends up cashing. So sometimes you can outsmart yourself and end up with a loser, and that's what happened to me.
Oh, brutal, brutal way to not even get the push on that one. Yeah, it's sometimes it's tough, right? Because it's a very tricky sport to bet, but you know, sometimes you just can't overthink it. Like, this is going to happen. Yeah. I'm going to lay it. But you know, the Packers have always dominated the Bears. It was tough to lay 10, same as it was. Like, I got Falcons +10 against the Rams. It's a set in a different game, but it's the same side of, you know, overreacting to the bounce back. The Super Bowl champs lose bad. Okay, they were -10. The Packers lose bad, come out flat to the Vikings week one. They're -10. You don't want to lay that, but sometimes, you know, that history just keeps repeating itself. And Justin Fields is having a tough time out there. Katie, we made a joke when Aaron Rodgers and the Packers came out flat against the Vikings, and he was talking about ayahuasca and how that made him win the MVP. Yes. And we said, you know what? Oh, and starting the season like that, we said traditional training camp methods, 1, ayahuasca, 0. In the game last night, they did an ayahuasca touchdown celebration. He was giving out trippy tea, and everyone was, oh, fuck. Katie, it's 1-1. Ayahuasca is on the board.
Ayahuasca is on the board. It was 1-1. Yeah, it was a tough look for ayahuasca last week. Good look for ayahuasca. And it was just funny that they had such a good time with it. And that touchdown celebration was really funny. So we'll see how, you know, what ayahuasca's scoreboard looks like next week. All right, people, we're brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. See, it's not just about the daily promos, odd boosts, or the hundreds of ways to wager. It's about the immortal words of Caesar himself. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Every bet you place on the app, no matter the outcome, earns towards exclusive perks at Caesars Rewards destinations everywhere. Hotel stays, concert tickets, bonuses, and more. Download the Caesars Sportsbook app, become a Caesars Rewards member today, and get more with every wager. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-522-4700. Lions, Tigers, and tailgates. Oh my, the college football season is always a great time of year. Besides the jerseys, the face paint, and the foam fingers, there's the food. And nothing gets you more fired up for game day than Eckrich Smoked Sausage. They're naturally hardwood smoked and have the perfect blend of spices. From buffalo sausage dip to sausage chili mac and cheese, Eckrich Smoked Sausage is a quick way to bring flavor to all your tailgate meals. Visit Eckrich.com for easy, one-of-a-kind sausage recipes. Eckrich, you do you. Football season is here, and nothing beats seeing your favorite team live. Not only does Vivid Seats have great NFL ticket prices, they're also the official ticketing partner of ESPN. And with Vivid Seats rewards, when you buy 10 tickets, you get the 11th free. Download the app or visit vividseats.com today. Vivid Seats, life happens live. Receive a reward credit equal to the average price of 10 tickets purchased, excluding taxes, fees, and processing costs. See vividseats.com/rewards for terms and conditions. Moving on to Capper's Corner. It is basically Christmas because we have two Monday Night Football games tonight. First one we're going to talk about is the Titans at the Bills. The Bills are 10-point favorites. Tennessee, if you felt like, hey, you want to sprinkle a little bit on the underdog, they're +360 on the money line, over under 47.5. The last time that these teams faced on a Monday Night Football was in week 6 of last season. Josh Allen was stopped on the 4th-and-1 inside the Titans 5-yard line. To end the game, Derrick Henry had 143 rush yards, 3 rush touchdowns, including a 76-yard touchdown. The Titans won 34-31, but the Titans have not started 0-2 since 2002, so they're trying to avoid that. And interestingly enough, the Bills have lost 5 straight home games on Monday Night Football. Danny, when I look at your best bets here, it looks like you're taking the prop bet route. You're not taking a side here on the total or the spread. So let us know why you're not doing that. Maybe it's because it's 10 points and the total's pretty low here for these two teams. But what do you like? You like some props?
Yeah, I like props in this game more than spreads or totals. I'm starting the season 23-5. And like I said before, a lot of the reason that I'm doing well is because of the things that I passed on. If I don't love the spread or the total, I look to attack in a different way. And I don't really want to lay 10. I do believe in the Bills bouncing or revenge game sort of here after that Monday night fiasco. I believe Josh Allen like dropped the ball at the one that fumbled and they lost in epic fashion. In fact, I had a side bet with our friend Kenny and I had to jump through a table Bills Mafia style after they lost that game. So that sucked for my lower back. But I think that Josh Allen will carry the team on his lower back tonight and they'll probably have a big win. I'm going to look at his partner in crime that'll do it with Stefon Diggs to start things out. He owns the Titans. Mm-hmm. Even when he was on the Vikings, he had fantastic games against the Titans. He's just doing it at a really efficient rate. A lot of targets, catching at a high clip. And I think he's going to go over his receiving yards total quite easily. It's set low based on last week. I mean, he had over 100 yards receiving. It's at 72.5 right now. Give me Stefon Diggs over receiving yards all day.
Okay, well, humble brag with your with how you're doing so far this season, but congratulations to you. I am going to take a stake on the side here, and I'm going to go Bills minus 10. I felt like I shied away from it last weekend. I didn't lay the 10 points with the 49ers. I didn't lay the 10 points with
the Packers,
and it didn't go out well for me. So I feel like I'm going to be a little bit ballsier, and I'm going to take the Bills minus 10. Buffalo went 10-7-2 against the spread last season. They're also 1-0 as home favorites in non-divisional games. 14-6 against the spread since 2003. That's hitting at a 70%. I just don't have a lot of faith in this Titans team. The Bills looked absolutely incredible against the defending champions, the Rams. So give me the Bills minus 10. What's your next bet?
All right, another prop for you. I'm going to go to the other side of the field and look at a wide receiver on the Tennessee Titans, and it's their big rookie draft pick, Treylon Burks, big body receiver. I like the way this kid's looking out of the gate. Against the Giants, he had 3 catches for 55 yards, so nothing crazy, but I think he's going to start to develop really early in the season. The few plays that he did have against the Giants, it looked great, and I just like his athleticism, his matchups. I think he's a mismatch for most DBs, so I think this kid is going to keep shining, and we're going to be saying his name a lot more and seeing him on the highlight reel. So while his total is still super low at 27.5 yards, if he starts to break out, his total won't be that low. So let's get it while the getting's good, and maybe we can buy low and see if he goes over this number at 27.5 yards. Give me Treylon Burks receiving yards.
I love that. Get it while it's hot. I'm going to tail that one. I'm actually in the under for this one. I do think that Tennessee's defense is going to have to step up more than it did the last time. The under is 4-1 in Tennessee's last 5 games after failing to cover against the spread. Since 2021, Bills games have gone under the game total in 55.6% of contests, while the Titans have gone under in 61% of the time. I think we're going to see a lot of defense here. I don't think it's going to be quite as explosive as people think it's going to be. So I'm going to take this under, which I know seems a little bit crazy because I also took the Bills minus 10. So you'd hope you'd have more points in order to cover that. But I just don't have a lot of faith in Tannehill and this offense. And I'm curious to see, if Henry gets going. I do like him for an anytime touchdown, which I see you do as well. But I don't know yards-wise or how many touchdowns he's going to get, how productive he's going to be against this Bills defense. But tell me why you like the anytime touchdown for Henry, because we're riding on that one together.
So, yeah, we're definitely both riding that one. And look, this is a don't overthink it play, right? I mean, Derrick Henry is going to have to be the identity of this offense if the Titans want to get back on track here. Yeah. And he didn't do all that great against the Giants. I mean, it was kind of underwhelming in week one. Against the Buffalo Bills, he scores touchdowns, Katie. In 2019, he had a touchdown on 20 attempts as well. 2020, 19 attempts, 2 touchdowns, only 57 yards, but got in the end zone twice. And you alluded to it already. Last time they played the Bills, I mean, he went ballistic. 20 attempts, 143 yards, 3 rushing touchdowns.
3
touchdowns. Unbelievable. So, look, we'll see if that Bills defensive front can contain him a little bit. Like they say, you can't stop him. You can only hope to contain him. And that should be good enough for a win and maybe your cover for the Bills if they can do that. I don't think they keep him out of the end zone, though. He's got to get in, and the Titans really need some mojo going.
Once.
They're gonna look to anyone to do it. It's got to be Henry. So let's not overthink it. Minus 125 is not a bad line. Normally, I want to get plus money on anytime touchdown score props. But when you bet on big names like Derrick Henry, Christian McCaffrey, right? This is the line, and I think it's a fair price. So I like that. Derrick Henry, anytime TD, please.
Let's ride. Let's do it together. Moving on to the next game, the Vikings at the Eagles. Philly favored by 2.5. They're minus 135 on the money line. This over-under higher at 50.5. It's the first meeting since 2019 where the Vikings won 38-20. Each team is seeking its first 2-0 start to the season since 2016. Kirk Cousins, as we know, he's 6-3 straight up, 7-2 against the spread in his career versus the Eagles. Yes, he doesn't do that great in primetime, but I guess he has won his last two. What do you think of this game? What's a good bet?
So this is tight. And that, you know, a lot of NFL is one of the most publicly bet sports. So a lot of the time what weighs my decision on a bet is the market. Where's the public at? Where's the late money coming in? How has the line moved? I'm going to inform that more weighted on my decision than I would maybe stats in baseball or, you know, trends in basketball. And in this one, there's some serious reverse line movement on the game total. The over-under set at 50.5. You think about the Eagles last week, they were in a 38-35 game against the Lions. So that's an easy first thought to say, let's go over. And the Vikings offense looked really good against a good Packers defense. So it seems like there would be points, but more and more people are betting the over. The handle on it just keeps going up and the total's coming down. That's called reverse line movement, my friends. It should be going up if people are betting the over, right? And it's down to 49.5 on some books now. Got to get it now at 50.5 on Caesars if you can still grab that, because I think it may end up even lower. And surprisingly, we might see more defense than you think will be the narrative or kind of game script in this one. So yeah, based on the line movement alone, give me the under.
Look, I usually don't like to argue against reverse line movement. I see that. I agree with you. I like to hop on it, but I'm on the over 50.5 in this game. These are two explosive offenses, both teams finishing in the top 10 in yards per play, and they're capable of scoring 30 points each, despite holding the Packers to 7 points in week one. The Vikings surrendered the seventh highest rushing EPA in the league. The Eagles scored 38 points in week one. It was the second most in NFL scoring on 50% of their possessions. So even though there's this reverse line movement, I still like the over. I still think that this is going to be a big offense explosion. So I guess next Monday when we meet here again, we'll have to see who won this one for the over. But what's your next bet?
And just to make one more point, this is what's so interesting about sports betting, right? I can't argue with anything you said. You're playing the stats, I'm playing the line. We'll see which one works out, but there's, you know, this is the angles of the game, and we'll come back and reflect on Monday.
Yes, I can't wait. What's your next bet?
All right, next up, I'm going with my man Jalen Hurts, over 50.5 rushing yards. Last week, he had 17 carries for 91. Let's not overthink this, Katie, right? Yep. I mean, the Eagles, you mentioned that already. Their identity is the rushing offense. The Vikings' rushing defense was poor last year, so we got to think they're going to look to run the ball and do it often. They scored 38 points last week, and they had no pass TDs. They did it all on the ground. They had the pick six, of course, but it was all the ground game. And Jalen Hurts, while he still figures out, you know, how to throw over the middle of the field, he was connecting with A.J. Brown. It looked good. He's still got work to do in the passing department. We know that. So he's going to have to use his legs and make plays. This total's still fairly low to me. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes way over this, if you see it at 70 next week, if he, you know, explodes over. So while we got a good line again, give me Jalen Hurts over 50.5 rush yards.
All right. Well, we're against each other on the total, but we're in lockstep here on Jalen Hurts over 50.5. I also locked this in. You already alluded to it, 17 carries, 91 yards versus Detroit. He also had 50 yards or more in 8 of 15 games last year. In 2021, Hurts had a six-game stretch, averaging 56.4 rushing yards per game from week 7 to week 12. Like you said, I think this is going to go way up in the following week. So let's lock this one in together. I also like the Eagles to win this game. I like the Eagles on the money line. And I went back and forth between the minus the 2.5 and the money line. Ended up being a little bit of a wimp here, and I'm going with the money line, even though the odds aren't as good, at minus 135. Both of these teams coming off huge wins. But if you look at how well Detroit played yesterday, it makes the Eagles win a little bit more impressive, whereas the Packers just had a terrible game one. And that's not to take anything away from the Vikings, but that wasn't the real Packers team I think we're going to see throughout the season. Whereas you look at these Detroit Lions, and I think they might surprise people. Also, home opener in the city of brotherly shove. That's the edge to Philadelphia. I'm going to give that to them. Minnesota has strengths on both sides of the ball, offense and defense. However, the biggest concern for me, Minnesota, the interior line holding up against that Eagles front. Kirk Cousins also 0-6 straight up and against the spread career as an underdog on Monday Night Football.
Well, that's your angle right there. And you know what? You got some good, you got some good trends there. And I agree. I mean, the Eagles front on both sides, defensive and offensive front, might push the Vikings around. So that could really be a thing that opens up the game. But man, again, the line and the betting action is so interesting on this. I mean, it was very 50-50. And then the Eagles, we talk about it often, are such a heavily bet market, right? The Eagles fans go to the window for their team. So it looks like more money is on their side now. But I don't know if it's, you know, pros or if it's just, you know, gung-ho Eagles fans. So, yeah, they're at home here. 2.5, though. Normally you get 3 if, you know, for home field advantage. I guess that says that, you know, maybe the Vikings would be favored if this was on a neutral field. I mean, everything about the line scares me. Yeah. And I'm going to stay away from it personally. But, like, if I had to make a play – it's hard to not take the Eagles at home here. I mean, I think that run game could look really good tonight.
Go Birds. You got one more play in this game, right?
I have Uno Mas for the people, Katie. And I'm going to go with something that's been working out for me. It's actually a running back over receiving yards. And I cashed this on Javonte Williams last Monday when we were talking Seahawks Broncos. Actually, very easily, not to toot my own horn again, arrogant today, but he had 8 catches in that game. He had more catches than any receivers. And it's a similar reason that I like it here in this one. The defensive front for the Eagles is scary. And Dalvin Cook is a fantastic running back, but it's not really the strategy shouldn't be let's downhill run against Fletcher Cox and Jordan Davis, right? Let's try to go up the middle on halfback dives. I like him to get to the outside, to go side to side and open up the field. And maybe the linebacking core is also really good for the Eagles. So maybe they try to drop the linemen and run some screens and let everyone come through and run into the backfield and dump a couple screens to Dalvin Cook. He got 5 targets last week. He only had 3 catches and went a yard under this total that is set here at 19.5. But I think it's just going to be a good checkdown option again against a good defensive front. Kirk Cousins needs to find a safety. Dalvin Cook will be there. He can make you miss. And again, low total. So give me Dalvin Cook over 19.5 receiving yards. I think it's kind of sneaky.
Yeah, it's kind of sneaky. I like it. I might ride with you on this one.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, now it's time for Mock's Locks, what we think that you should take to the window. I'm going to go Eagles money line and Derrick Henry anytime touchdown. Danny, what are your locks?
I got to lock in that under 50.5 and Vikings Eagles. I'm going to go with Stephon Diggs over 72.5 receiving yards.
Let's get it. This has been Moxie Betts presented by Caesar Sportsbook. Don't forget to follow us on social at Moxie Betts. We'll see you Wednesday.